Welcome back, everybody. Today, Paul and I are going to ask the question. We're going to cut right to the heart of it and ask everybody out there listening, why do you only have one policy instead of a system of policies? What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, it's a great question, especially we were talking about some of our earlier clients. A lot of them were really outstanding and kind of helped evangelize IBC, but some kind of slipped through the cracks and we're wondering why they only have one policy, why they don't have policies in their spouse or their children. So anyway, stay tuned. Remember what Nelson talks about. This is to be a system of policies. It's not a one and done.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right, Paul, what's new, man?
Oh, not much since we last chatted.
10 minutes ago.
Old, I'm still, yeah. Yeah, I did change my shirt, so it looks like we're recording a completely different week.
Well, I ruined that because I'm still wearing the same thing.
But it's a nondiscreet, you know, black polo shirt from Lululemon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? Yeah, well, you know, they offer it at $75 per quarter now with that Amex card.
Yeah, maybe we do a little plug for Amex Platinum. If you've got one of those cards, take a look at your membership reward offer things. And
yeah, they've increased those things. That's nice. They've got a lot more. In fact, I need to make a reservation over Resy tonight to use that credit before the end of the quarter here.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. So, good stuff. Yep, just more financial hacks.
That actually is a hack, right?
You heard it here first on the Wealth Warehouse podcast.
And it's a benefit that you pay for, and the membership for Amex Platinum is whatever the heck it is now, $7.95 or something.
And do we have like a referral number on that? Like if somebody takes our referral number, we get points or a discount?
Yeah, you can like send them a link or something, and there's different offers from time to time where if you know they spend whatever, you get 50,000 points or something. But
well, they get something too. So don't go signing up for that without contacting us and asking for a referral link. We'll help you out. We'll hook you up because we love you.
Right.
Yeah. So this episode brought to you by Amex. We don't have any sponsors.
We have no sponsors. No. We're commercial free. We pay for it all of our out of our own pockets.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. We've never had sponsors. We've been approached by a lot of companies to, hey, have you guys thought about advertising? Like, yeah. I mean, I've thought about it, but I don't want to cheapen anything. And I don't think we need to monetize this. Maybe we could by doing some I'm taking a drink of my water. Hey, by the way, this Macintoons Minnesota made spring water is delicious. You can get it on sale for $3.79 for a 24 pack.
And use our coupon code Wealth Warehouse and get
we'll just 5% fit it into off. The conversation. So I don't know if any of you business owners are listening. Maybe we can fit you into the conversation while we're talking, and you can throw a couple bones our way. But nah, we're good. We're good. Yep. So all right, man. Well, let's get to it. So we want to talk about today. If you are an IBC user, like you practice the infinite banking concept, you're a client of ours or you're not a client of ours, but you've got a specially designed whole life insurance policy for the purposes of infinite banking, and you only have one, why? Why do you only have one policy? And this isn't about selling you more policies, which we're happy to do, but this is a system, right? If one is good, more has got to be better if you're creating your own banking system. Read the book, the 92-page book, Becoming Your Own Banker. It's not about one and done. You don't get one policy and you say, check, I checked that container, I'm done.
It's to be a system of policies is what Nelson says.
Right. And why would it need to be a system of policies? Why isn't one good enough?
Yeah. Well, maybe you started maybe your parents started a policy on you when you were a child and now you're an adult and you've entered the workforce and you're making your own money now and you need to expand your system because you have more income, right? So that's probably the main reason is when you make more money. Or maybe you have children. Maybe you got married and you have a spouse now. All of those folks you have an insurable interest on, and therefore you could open up another branch of your banking system. And you should.
Yeah.
Right? And you should. Not arbitrarily.
Right. This episode is really, if you're somebody who's had a policy for 5 years, or you worked with us, you know, 5 years ago and got your first policy and you don't have a second one, this episode's for you. Because in the last 5 years, most of you, I'm not saying this is for everybody, because some people, you know, took a turn for the worse, or hard times hit, or there's big emergencies or big life changes. I get that. But I think, sure. I think life works in 5 year increments. And it was actually 4 years, almost five, from when I got my first set of policies. I started with three, you started with four. And about 4 years later, I got a fourth. So I added another one to the system. And then it was maybe every couple of years after that, I would add more. And then recently it's been like every single year. Like I'm about to acquire my 15th policy. But if you have been sitting on one and just funding that for several years, has your means not increased? Are you not making more money right now? Have you not got your debt under control, or your expenses more under control? You know, those are some questions I would ask yourself.
Yeah. Or are you warehousing money in somebody else's bank?
Most likely that's happening. Yeah. Because if you started a premium 5 years ago and it was $10,000, because that's what you could do at that time, I would say if you're still at one policy, most likely it's because you haven't continued your education on infinite banking. In fact, I just had a call with a client a couple of weeks ago. He reached out to me. His life has changed since about 5 years ago when he got a policy. He's married, he's got a baby, and things are tighter financially. And he says, hey, I'm thinking about just, surrendering this policy. It's kind of getting tough to pay it every month. I wanted to get your advice first. I looked at his policy. He's at the point where every dollar he's paying in premium is creating more than $1 in cash value. Mm. And he's got a big outstanding loan he hasn't repaid. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down with him and I showed him the numbers and how effective and efficient this thing is right now. And he's exactly where everybody wants to be when they start.
Right.
But I knew, I could tell, and he admitted it, like between the time he put that policy in force and today, he basically done no additional education on infinite banking. Hadn't been keeping up on it. Thought it was a good idea at the time and then kind of forgot about it. Just paid the premium and took loans and ignored it. So he's getting back on the wagon and realizing he's really got something pretty awesome here, especially now that you got a wife and a kid. You're probably going to want to keep that death benefit in place.
Yeah. Yeah. The people who quit or express the desire to quit don't know what they have. And it's as simple as that. Barring any, emergencies or financial hardships or whatever. But people who quit because they don't understand is, you hate to see it. It doesn't happen often at all.
Right.
And I think, a simple, why are all these other people trying to expand their systems and I'm thinking about canceling this? It's a pure lack of understanding. You don't know what you have, and somebody got to you who also doesn't know anything, who also isn't in a good position, and they convince you, oh, you don't need that. Just buy term and invest the difference. All right. Just like everybody else, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I was working with another client who we just closed out his policy today, actually this morning. And one of the questions during the course of the conversations we've had, he's got an old policy his dad started for him like in the 80s, I want to say, a whole life policy. And it was like a 20 pay. So that was paid up in like 2005. It's been going 20 years being paid up. And still cash value is increasing every single year without him putting a dollar into it. And he was asking me, well, should we just exchange this, do an exchange and put that cash value into this new policy? I'm like, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Like that thing is great. Keep it going. Like you're not putting any money into it and it's growing every year. Like that's exactly where everybody wants to be. Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly where everybody wants to be. But you know, it worries me because there are, you know, there's a big, you know, life insurance company out there that does investments also, and they, I mean, it's an agent churning mill. They just bring in these young kids, 19, 20 years old, and they say, you're going to make $1 million. And they go out and they sell whole life insurance. And one of those kids would have 100% looked at that and said, yes, we need to move that money into this new policy for you, which is the complete wrong answer. So you got to be talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. And that attitude and that way of doing business has started to creep into our space, into the infinite banking concept world. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Churning is a derogatory term in our, it's illegal or unethical or both, depending, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's certainly unethical,
purposely
churning, but, anyway, so just something to watch out for. If you have a relatively mature policy and someone's trying to 1035 the cash value into a new one, you might want to ask why.
Exactly. So if you have a policy right now, you got into it for some reason, and likely it was because you wanted to start capitalizing yourself and controlling your own capital and being able to finance the things of life. But what my first three policies, I started with $10,000 premium total between the three of them, because that's what I could do at the time. I
was a big money
captain. I was a captain in the Air Force. It was 2010, and that was good money. I was putting towards that every year. I was more than 10% of my income at the time.
Yeah.
Now, if I wanted to actually use or capitalize myself and like I am today, not needing banks for anything but a mortgage, really. Would I have been able to do that with a $10,000 a year policy?
No,
I can't. There's no way I can secede from the banking system.
No, you'd be stuck in 2010, basically in perpetuity.
Yeah, right. Because like Nelson says, it takes the average person 20 years to completely get away from the banking system, get rid of all the snakes and dragons.
Right.
Yeah. But he also... So it's not, it just takes 20 years, but it takes 20 years and a system of policies to really do that.
Yep. And we've said it on this podcast plenty of times, page 48 in Becoming Your Own Banker, expand the system to accommodate all income. Now that those two pages, 48, 49, will get your mind like, what is he saying here? Is he saying that? He does say like premium and income should match.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that. But we should be, the lesson is we should be striving to pay more premium as our means increases or our expenses decrease or both, right? If you've got money, the simple way we look at it, if you've got money stacking up somewhere else that's not already allocated toward premium, right? Or it's loan repayment already and the loans are paid off. It might be time, or it's likely time, to sit down with us, have a 30-minute conversation. Hey, maybe it's time to open up another policy. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be another. If you've got a $10,000 policy, maybe this one's only $7,500 a year or $5,000 a year. That's okay. Incremental increase. Because maybe that money, if you didn't capitalize it in a policy, maybe the behavior would say you spent it.
Yeah.
Maybe it vanishes.
Yep. So again, you start where you're at for your first policy and then reevaluate down the road and say, well, what can I do? What am I capable of doing now? Especially if I want to do the same percentage, because as your income goes up, the percentage of your income that you're paying towards premium is going to go down. It's math.
Yep.
So to keep that steady, you need to increase the premium you're paying. And the only way to do that really is to start a new policy. And maybe that's a new policy on your spouse or the kids. Maybe you've gotten married in that time, or you've gotten divorced and remarried, or you've had more kids in that time, whatever. Something's happened in the last 5 years that makes your life a lot different than it was 5 years ago. So it's time to reevaluate.
Yeah. And I think to some of my earlier clients, most of them have juvenile policies, but a bunch A bunch don't.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. It's, you know, it's a mental block or, but I, you know, I'm going to make an effort here in the next few months to kind of re-engage on that front and say, what's preventing you from opening up policies on your children? You need to guarantee their insurability for life.
Yeah.
You need to do this. Even if it's small, do it. I know they're keeping money somewhere else. I know they are.
and every year delayed is a year of growth you're missing out on. That's the way I look at
it. Yeah. Yep. And if you plug those numbers into a compound calculator, compound interest calculator, use 5-6%, use 10%, whatever you think your number would be, it makes a tremendous difference 40-50 years down the road. 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. All right. So what are some ways to expand? And I think we hit on a lot of this in the previous episode, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, have a plan. We talked about increasing your means in last week's episode. So increase your means through any way you possibly can, but then have a plan for that income increase. Don't just increase the means so that you can spend more money. Have a plan for that money before you get it.
Yeah. If you don't have a plan, it's going to get spent.
Yeah.
Easily. Unless you're planning to spend it, and then in which case it's going to get spent.
Yeah. Which means you're planning to fail.
But how do we plan from an IBC perspective, right? We do this with all of our clients. Is when you go through the underwriting process with us, we underwrite you for as close to your full human life value as we reasonably can. So probably with your whole life policy is going to be a separate or maybe integrated large term rider or a separate term policy, so that 15 years down the road, you need the death benefit. Number one, you need the death benefit anyway, right? To protect your family and your legacy, yep, and all those things, right? But number two, it gives you the ability to expand your system because you lock in your health and your financial underwriting today while you're still healthy, right? You're in your 30s or 40s or whatever, 50s maybe. But you can, hey, Paul, I'm ready for another, you know, $25,000 a year policy, and it's going to be on my wife this time. Okay, great. We'll convert some of her term. Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe you're at the point where you really want to do this. You just don't have the means because you're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. You're between jobs. You're trying to find that career. You know, things have happened in life.
Sure.
Start with a convertible term policy. I've done that with many people. I just talked to somebody in the last week who that's really the plan is, I see the light. I want to do this. I just don't have the means right now.
Yep.
So, okay, let's lock in your health, so that when you do have the means, you're ready to go within a matter of maybe 2 weeks. You can get that thing.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, right? If you believe in IBC, getting a, you know, an adequate convertible term, and the younger you are, like at this guy that's, you know, pretty young, but makes money you and I didn't make until we were in our 40s.
Yeah.
And he's making it at age 25.
Wow.
And nice. It's like, dude, he's a father and a husband. I was like, you need a ton of term. We've got a lot on him already, but he needs way more. His human life value is super high.
Yeah.
So we're in the process of going through that. But yeah, just the flexibility to be prepared for whatever, whether you graduate or not, you're going to be prepared to expand your IBC system. It just, what I said to these people yesterday was like, this just becomes, the more you do it and at a higher level you practice IBC, the more peaceful your life becomes.
Yeah, it really does. You know, it's like Financial Peace University, but it's, you know, infinite peace through infinite banking. It really is. It's made so much difference in my life, in my family's life, because when a problem arises, if you got the money for the problem, you don't have a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, you know, there's income increases as a way to expand. There's windfalls. And I think most people could probably expect a windfall at some point in their life, whether that's inheritance, whether that's a large assigning bonus or a bonus from work or back pay, or you sell a house that appreciated in value, or you sell some stocks, an investment, whatever it is. You got a windfall.
I've done all those.
Yeah. Where's that money going to go?
It went to either loan repayment, premium, or new premium. One of those three things. It went to those things first.
Yeah, that's where everything goes for me now. But I've expanded my system enough to accommodate all of that. And if I don't have enough room, then it's as simple as using my convertible term, create another policy for however big or small it needs to be to capture that income, and I do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked about this, but I've been taking the approach lately because I'm worried that I'm going to run out of convertible term. I don't know if I will or not, but so I've been doing that kind of PDF max prepay a policy for a decade just to kind of transfer as much risk away from myself as possible, knowing that in year 11, year 12, the dividend could handle the entire base premium. And those are heavy base policies I'm doing that with as well because I want a bigger dividend.
Yeah.
But yeah, great. That the PDF max, another great place for a windfall though.
Yep. Absolutely. And we talk about that in other episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got, like we mentioned last episode, if you've got emergency savings or a big cash, you know, I get this comment all the time. Maybe I'm talking to a husband and he says, well, we don't want to put all of this that's in the checking or the savings account, all of that cash into the policy right away, because he often blames his wife. But it's probably
of course.
Both him and his wife. But he's like, but you know, because my wife likes to see that and have that available when we need it. I think that's just a lack of understanding of the liquidity of this asset. You've got access to it.
Yeah. I think in that instance, and you probably did this, was like, well, let me show you what I do. And I'll just bring up one of my personal policies of like, see that? That's my emergency fund. See this other policy? That's my emergency fund. See eight more policies? That's my emergency fund. That whole system of policies. I can get to it.
Yeah. I can get in a matter of, you know, a week tops typically. Yeah. I mean, almost never. If they're mailing a check, does it take longer than a week? Maybe give yourself 10 days, but you know, when do you actually need, how often do you need cash this very second? So put that money somewhere where it's working for you. And it's protected even better. And it's creating an asset for you, like more death benefit for your family.
It's created cash where none existed before, right? You're giving the life insurance company pennies. And if something happens to you, they're going to give you dollars, right? Without any tax, this came up last night as well. They got a lot of good stuff. But family and money, right, can be complex, even if it's in a will. Hey, Bobby's going to get 30 grand. Christy's going to get 30 grand. Paul and Dave are going to get 30 grand each from grandpa, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the executor is kind of like, well, I'm going to drag my feet and, you know, whatever. Those things do happen.
And you're kind of at the mercy of
these people. It can ruin families, right? Yeah. Where with whole life insurance, or any life insurance, but whole life insurance in this case, right? The life insurance company is going to send that death benefit check to whoever's listed as a beneficiary or beneficiaries. Could be a charity, could be your children, could be your husband, your spouse, whatever, right? They're going to send it where you instructed them to send it. So make sure you update those as life changes, right? Maybe you got divorced or maybe you got married or whatever, but update those things and make sure they are up to date every single year.
Yeah. And you can usually do that online. Just log into your portal and you can change beneficiaries.
Yeah.
And if you're a client of ours and you can't figure that out, just reach out. We'll help you do that because that's very important because that's who that money's going. Doesn't matter what your will says. Your will says, I'm going to leave all my money and everything to so-and-so. Well, unless they're listed as a beneficiary, it ain't going to them.
Correct.
That life insurance. Yeah.
Correct.
So, okay. So yeah, move those big chunks of cash you have to somewhere better that's working for you and building another asset. There's also, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, all right, hold on, someone's coming in the door. Don't bark, dog. I was going to say, if you're not putting all of your capital, like available savings capital in your system of whole life policies, you're not really practicing IBC as efficiently. Right. Or frankly, you're not practicing IBC correctly. There's no point in having 250K of cash value, let's say, in a system of two policies, and then you keep another 250K in a savings account. I don't understand that.
Right.
Pipe up in the comments. Why are you doing that?
You know, I think you see a difference in sometimes in the way people approach IBC. Some approach it as it's a principle. It's a financial principle that they live by now. And others, it's a preference. And I think the ones who don't really embrace it, it's a preference. Hey, and that's okay. This could be one part. We're not saying this needs to be the only thing you do. But like you recently posted, you were just sharing this with me. You said,
yeah.
What did you say? I'll let you say
I said,
it.
Let me, oh, there it is. So I was quoting a recent new, you know, not a new client, but converting some term. But anyway, I was at the end of the post, I was talking about investing. And I said, you know, the infinite banking concept isn't about investing, but your investments should originate from and return to your whole life insurance system. Loan origination. Yep. Whether I'm putting money in the market, buying Bitcoin, buying cars to sell, buying land, doesn't matter. The money that I'm using to do those things comes from my banking system, my life insurance contracts. It goes out, makes me money, and then comes back. And the money ends up, just like Nelson talks about, the money ends up back in the banking system somewhere. How mm-hmm. much of that system you control as it, you know, as it relates to you, you want to control as much of it as you can. That's how I do it. So if people see my pool or they see whatever, a classic car, I'm not just like borrowing money at will to do these things, right? I am funding it with money. I've already created the value with these life insurance contracts. I'm just borrowing against that value. I'm borrowing that equity. Meanwhile, the policies are growing uninterrupted. I still get the full growth rate, the full dividend every single year. That's the trick. Loan origination while addressing opportunity cost.
Yeah, that's exactly what banks do, right? They loan you money to go to buy that car, and then you pay that money back to them. So it started with them and it ends with them with a lot of interest on top. So
yeah, and they're loaning money that you put there.
Yeah. So So what a great visual where, yeah, I want all of my investments, all of my financing in life to start and end in my own system. That's great.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you if you have the choice? And almost everybody has the choice, you know, unless you're completely uninsurable and you don't have another insurable interest, then you may be out of luck. But assuming you have an insurable interest, everybody has a choice to be able to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some people have a really great opportunity and they're not going to take it. I've showed them the door, but they're not going to walk through it. Listening to the wrong advice.
Yeah. And they may come back 5 years later and say, man, I should have listened. I've had that before. Like somebody said, oh, somebody introduced this to me 5-10 years ago. You know, I thought it was a good idea, but I didn't move on it. Man, I'm ready now, but I should have listened back then. So
Jamie just walked in with some Coors Banquet, by the way.
Hey.
Winning. That's what winning looks like.
Johnny. Yeah. There you go. Well, it's the weekend. So that's I know right. This is coming out on a Monday. Don't worry. The weekend is right around the corner. but yeah, so bottom line, infinite banking is a process and that process doesn't have an endpoint. You don't arrive, just like Nelson talks about the arrival syndrome. You don't arrive in knowledge and you don't arrive at the end of the process. It's ongoing.
Generational.
Generational, like the flow of money. The flow of money never stops. And neither does the banking process. So how much of that banking process do you want to control?
Yeah. And if you don't understand what we're talking about, if you're just catching this episode, you know, 190, whatever this is, 192, go back to episode one, you know, who we are and why do you care, and start there. By the time you get to 192, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. And yeah, you'll know more than 95% of life insurance agents about whole life insurance.
Yeah, and I wish it was a high bar, but
that's really not. It's really not. Yeah. So I would say as long as you have a need for financing in your life, and that's pretty much everybody until the day they die, you're financing your lifestyle at the very least, even if you're not making big purchases. But as long as you have a need for financing, you have a reason to expand your system.
Yeah, I don't think you ever outrun your need for finance or outlive it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Exactly. So, all right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. We had fun. And have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, control your capital.
or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.